The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. I feel like I could say it with some frequency, page after page in the Gospels, but this is everything. This passage has everything for us. And this powerful parable that Jesus shares contains within it really the whole of the Gospel. And we could get what we need just from a couple of lines. We can see, for instance, here, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer. To whom? To God? The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Here we have the situation that befalls all of us. By virtue of our first parents' sin and by the rebellion that humanity has mounted against God since then, we are turned in on ourselves. We're self-concerned. We're self-absorbed. We're selfish. We can't help but think of ourselves. What's in this for me? What am I going to get out of it? Right, we like to ask ourselves those questions. He spoke this prayer to himself. And then what does he give? His religious resume. Yeah, all the great things. Look at all the great things he's done. Look at all the great things, God, I've done. Look at all the things I've done for you. Look at how much I've profited you. And look at the bad thing. I mean, he starts with the low-hanging fruit, right? Look at all the bad things I haven't done. It's like, go ahead. I mean, now, I shouldn't make too much of a point of this, but it's not infrequently that in confession I hear, well, you know, Father, I haven't killed anybody, but it's like, if we can't see our common humanity in this, do you know, like, we come before God, and the first part of our resume is all the bad things we haven't done, right? We're pleading our cause before him, yeah? Or are we pleading our cause before him? I think perhaps not. When Jesus says that the tax collector goes home justified and the Pharisee does not, I would challenge us to see that in this way. You know what like left and center and right justified is, right? For all of us who have used Microsoft Word for some years. Left justified, center justified, right justified. Which margin does it line up with? Left or right, or is it in the center? So how is the Pharisee justified? By what margin or by what line or orientation is the Pharisee justified? He is self-justified. He's justifying himself. Right? Lord, this is the way I've gone. That must be the way you intended. I'm not even gonna ask you. I know, because I didn't kill anyone. Surely, right, the rest is fine. I pay tithes on my whole income. I fast twice a week. Look, I mean, the Pharisees' religious resume is better than yours, isn't it? It's better than mine. Well, okay, fine, I'll let him have it. I'm not making one. but he's got a pretty good religious resume. It's totally crowding out the thought of his need for God's mercy. Because what does he have here at the end of the day without God? This enclosed prayer that he's prayed, this self-justification that he's issued, this religious resume that he's handed over to God, what does he have? He's got a handful of dust. Guess what, brother? Nobody cares. It means nothing. Your life is totally enclosed on itself. How different is he from the hated, the despised, the condemned tax collector? Because look at what he does. Here, I've earned your grace, Almighty God. I stand in the light of your radiance. And I thank you for what you've given me. And he's put himself between Almighty God and the tax collector. I'm not like him. I deserve this. And he doesn't. And he's not going to get any. Spiritual pride. He's not a vehicle for God's grace. He can't be. He's not taking up in any part Israel's vocation to be a light to the nations. That's God's calling for humanity and Israel in particular, for all generations, to be a light to the nations, to bring his love to life to everyone they encounter, right? To be a vehicle of his grace to the nations, to the whole world. And here he is, blocking out the sun. Now, how different from the tax collector, the hated tax collector, the tax collector who was collaborating with the enemy, who was profiting off of Israel's subjugation, right? He's hated for a reason. And it's not like IRS hatred. Yeah, it's even more, if you can believe it, it's even more than IRS hatred for tax collectors in that day. He's collaborating with the enemy. He's opposing our Israeli national agenda. And there he is. And perhaps because he knows his unworthiness. Because he knows he has no religious resume. All he has is his need for God. And if that's his heart, if that's his whole heart, if he knows his need for God, if he's desperate, then yes, he walks away justified. In humility, he casts himself down before God's throne of mercy. And the only way he's getting up is if God picks him up. He's not walking out of the temple on his own strength. He'll have God's strength animating him, or he won't be able to get out. And there he is. He's justified, not self-justified. He's in line with God. He lines up not with himself, he lines up with God. And being in line with God and God's purposes in his life, he finds himself the recipient of God's merciful love, and he must find himself an agent of God's merciful love to the wider world. Who walks away from this encounter? Who walks away in this parable enlivened? Who walks away happy, grateful? Who walks away alive? And who walks away dead? And Jesus' outreach is to all the wrong people. Praise God. I'm one of them. I don't deserve what he gives me. Praise God. How great is his mercy. His outreach is to all the wrong people. And he's bringing them to life. He's giving them new life, purpose, mission, God's mission. And how much the Pharisees want to keep him at bay. No, can't. They don't deserve it. It's not going to work. We've got something better. No, God's plan is best. And because he rescues the unworthy, because he rescues the undeserving, there's no one else. There's no one in the world then who's outside the reach of God's mercy. If he's rescued me, unworthy though I am, how can I not be part of his rescuing someone else? How can I not sign on to that great mission? How can I try to keep that for myself? I don't deserve it. How can I make someone deserve it before I give it away? I can't. And if I try, to my detriment, I'll lose it as well. I'll lose it as well. So there we have, the perfect picture of our whole spiritual life. To come before God and throw ourselves on his mercy. That receiving his mercy, we may become agents and vehicles of his merciful love to everyone we encounter.